لله وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسول. The topic today will be about the عيد الأضحى. And عيد الأضحى is one of the two عيدs of the Muslims. We must realize that our Eids are those 2 days, which is the day of Fitr from Ramadan, that is called Eid al-Fitr, and the day of Adha, which is on the 10th day of the Hijjah. And on this day, it is recommended that the Muslim should sacrifice an animal for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sacrifice a sheep for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We mentioned description of the sheep that should be sacrificed, that it should not be sick and it should not be limp and should not have the croak eye or something like that. So on that day we sacrifice an animal. This is a sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have recommended for us to do so, and it is also a reminder for us about the savior of Prophet Ismail, the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salam was ordered to slaughter his son Ismail, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only meant to test Ibrahim, and he saved Ismail by ordering him to sacrifice an animal for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is a reminder for us. Now, in this story of Ismail and Ibrahim, of course, there are great lessons for us. First of all, the great lesson of the submission of Ibrahim alayhi salam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he was ordered by Allah to slaughter his son. He was ordered in his dream, and the dream of the prophets is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was ordered to slaughter Ismail alayhi salam. Now, this is something which is not easy for the father to slaughter his son, especially when his son is obedient and pious like Ismail alayhi salam. When Ibrahim submitted to the order of Allah, this shows the great faith of the prophets, and especially the great faith of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he did so without any hesitation and without any form of objection to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing surely in his heart that Allah orders nothing for no wisdom. Even if you don't know the wisdom, then you must know that it is for a wisdom. And therefore, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered Ibrahim alayhi salam, he directly and immediately submitted to Allah, and he came to Ismail and he told him that Allah has ordered me to slaughter you. And the next lesson that we learn from this great story is the submission of Ismail alayhi salam and his obedience to Allah and his obedience to his father. Now, of course, he obeyed his father by accepting to be slaughtered when he was very young. He was maybe 10 years old or so. And at this age, to be such obedient is something which is beyond description. And when Ismail alayhi salam obeyed the order of his father to slaughter him, because he trusted his father that he was actually doing this by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in his obedience to his father, he was actually obeying Allah, because it is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, he would not probably accept to be slaughtered for no reason, for no cause, because this is something which no one should accept. You remember the story when the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were on a battle, and their leader got angry at them, so he told them to make a fire and to throw themselves into this fire. So those companions did not obey him. Why? Because his order was something which is completely against the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not destroy yourselves by throwing yourselves into destruction. Do not kill yourselves. So it is forbidden for a Muslim to kill himself for no cause. So therefore those companions did not obey the order of their leader. And when the news came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told them, had you obeyed him, you will go to hellfire. Why? Because you are obeying him in something which is a sin, that is to kill yourselves for no cause. And this is a great sin against yourselves, and this is something which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they did not obey him, and they saved themselves from hellfire by not obeying him, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if your leader orders you to do something which is righteous, then you must obey him. But if he orders you to do something which is unrighteous, then you cannot obey him. And he says, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق, that there should not be any obedience for any creature, whoever he might be, if his order is a sin, if he orders you to do something which is against the orders of Allah and his messenger. Now, Ismail alayhi salam obeyed his father, and he accepted to be taken and slaughtered and sacrificed for the sake of Allah and as a way to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, the most wise, the most knowledgeable, sent an angel to Ibrahim alayhi salam when he was about to slaughter his son. He sent an angel to him telling him that you have passed the test and that you should sacrifice an animal, or this animal that he brought with him. Now, Eid al-Adha, of course, on that day we must praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank him for his favors on us and for his bounties. Now, this is the way to celebrate the Eid. So first of all, we must know that those are our Eids, Eid al-Adha, Eid al-Fitr, and also the 3 days after the day of the 10th day of the Hijjah. The 3 days are also considered part of Eid al-Adha, and also before the 10th of the Hijjah, which is 9th of the Hijjah, is the day of Arafah. For those who are in Hajj, they are in that place, in Arafah. But for those who are not in Hajj, who are at their own places, then it is recommended for them to fast that day, and it is a means of forgiving the sins of the past year and the following year. To fast Arafah will be, your sins of the past year and of the following year will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those are our Eids, those are our celebration days, plus of course the weekly Eid, and that is on Friday, Jum'ah. This is the best day, the most beloved day by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have any other Eids, so it is false for Muslims to celebrate other days which the other faiths celebrate, such as Christmas, such as New Year, such as birthdays, and so on. Those are not our way. Those are the ways of the people of the book and of other religions. So the Muslim is ordered not to resemble the others in their special things, whether those things are occasions or clothes or whatever, or habits. You should not resemble them. And of course you can learn from them what is beneficial for Muslims, such as to build the necessary equipment for weapons and so on, and for factories, and you can learn from those things, because those things are not special of them, but you cannot imitate them in their special habits and occasions and clothes and so on. So anyway, on Eid Day, we celebrate this day by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by making the Eid prayer in the morning, and by saying also loudly, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. This is our way of celebrating the Eid. Of course, you can visit your relatives on the Eid day. You can take the children to some place where they feel happy, as long as you don't take them to some place where there are haram things, music or women mixed with men and so on. This is not the proper way of relieving yourself. To relieve yourself does not mean that you commit sins. Now, Jabir ibn Samura, may Allah be pleased with him, said that I prayed with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the Eid more than one time, and the prayer was without adhan and without iqama. So the prayer of Eid does not need any adhan, and it does not need any iqama. This is something which we must bear in mind. And also, there is no prayer before it. When you come to pray it, especially if it is prayed outside the mosque in a musalla, then you don't make any prayers. You just come and make the Eid prayer directly. You don't make two rak'ahs or anything. So this is the way to perform the Eid prayer. Now, of course, in Eid prayer, you make 8 takbiras in the first rak'ah and 6 takbiras in the second rak'ah. Now, 8 including the first takbira, which is takbiratul ihram. So you make takbiratul ihram and 7 extra takbiras. Then you recite the Fatiha and so on. And in the second rak'ah, when you stand up, you make the takbira, and then you make 6 more, and then you recite. So this is the way to make Salatul Eid, and it is an obligation to make Salatul Eid. If you miss it, you should make 2 rak'ahs at home. But it is not an obligation to attend the khutbah. It is good, it is recommended to go and listen to the khutbah and benefit and remind yourself and your family with you, inshallah. Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, said that I prayed the Eid prayer with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, all of them were making the prayer before the khutbah. So they were making the prayer, then they were making the khutbah. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after making the khutbah for the men, he came to the women and he gave them a special ceremony. So this is something which the Imam should remember on Eid day, that after giving the men the advice, he should come to the woman and give them a special advice, especially to remind them to give charity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have done on that day. Inshallah, we will finish next time. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. We described the prayer on the Eid day and the khutbah also. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give special khutbah to the women after he was giving the general khutbah to the men. He was facing the woman or coming to the woman and giving them a special advice. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, in one Eid prayer, he came to the woman with Bilal with him. And he recited the verse, Ya ayyuha an-nabiy idha ja'aka al-mu'minatu yubay'unaka 'ala an la yushrikna billahi shay'an, and so on, this verse, until he finished this verse. When he finished that, he said, you are of those women who have given an oath to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet that when the faithful woman come to you and give you an oath not to associate any partner with Allah and to establish the prayers and so on. So this oath, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reminding the woman that you are part of those women who have made this oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the women answered and said, yes, O Messenger of Allah, O Prophet of Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then you must give charity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Bilal had something to take this charity with, and they were throwing whatever they can in that thing. So some of them were throwing their rings, golden rings and golden earrings and golden necklaces and so on. So this was their answer to the call of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the way the faithful should be, that they should answer the call of Allah and His Messenger, and not delay things and not say, well, I will give tomorrow or after tomorrow, because when you do that, you will be opening a gate of shaitan to whisper to you not to give, because he will remind you of this world and that when you give, your wealth will become shorter and things like that. So the faithful should obey Allah and His Messenger immediately and give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this charity that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded the woman with was either their zakat or the regular charity. Now, as far as the zakat is concerned, of course, every Muslim, male or female, should give his or her zakat annually, every year. If your wealth reaches a certain amount, which is called the nisab, that amount where the zakat is deserved, then after 1 year passing for that nisab, that is, this nisab should not decrease from that amount for one full year. If it increases, that's fine, but it should not decrease. So when the end of the year comes, you give 2.5% of that, of whatever you have, all the wealth you have. 2.5%. So 2.5%, you give it to the poor, the ones who don't have sufficient income. Someone who might receive some salary for him and his family, but it might not be sufficient for his necessities, then he deserves the zakat. Someone who has lost all his things due to certain circumstances, someone who is in debt, who cannot pay his debt, and he is in bad shape, so he should be given from the zakat. Someone who is making jihad, fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should be given from the zakat. Or someone who is studying the sharia, the religion, and he needs support because studying the sharia is a jihad also, and he should be given from the zakat if he needs so, if he needs for his books and for his tuition and things like that, he should be given from the zakat. So one can give the zakat to any of those types, eight types which are mentioned in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to free a slave. This is one way of giving the zakat. So this is it's very important for every Muslim to know that paying the zakat is a pillar of Islam, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made this pillar so important in his book by attaching it to the prayers, establish the prayer and give the charity. So those two things are mentioned together in the book of Allah and in the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which show the importance of giving the zakat. That is why Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu have insisted on fighting those who did not want to give their zakat after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was insisting to fight them, and he said, by Allah, I will fight those who separate zakat from salat, or those who differentiate between zakat and salat. In other words, just like they establish the prayers, they must give the zakat. They cannot separate this from this. So his insistence showed the importance of giving the zakat, and every Muslim must be very careful that he should give the zakat if he has the nisab, he has the amount of money which is greater than the needs for his necessities. Now, Ubaydullah ibn Abdullah said that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu asked Abu Waqid al-Laythi, what was the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting on the Eid day? He said he was reciting Qaf wal Quran al-Majid and Iqtarabat al-Sa'ah wa Inshaqqa al-Qamar. Those two surahs, Qaf, Surah Qaf, والقرآن المجيد, and سورة القمر, اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر. Also, it is narrated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was reciting سبح اسم ربك الأعلى and هل أتاك حديث الغاشية. Now, in those two surahs, great attention is paid to the remembrance of the hereafter and of the paradise and of the hellfire. Those two verses are meant to be a remindrance for the believers about Allah, about His qualities, about the hereafter, about the paradise, about hellfire, about the signs of the day of judgment, and so on. So this remindrance for the Muslims is to make them aware of that day and to make them prepare themselves for that day. So actually, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on those days of Eid was reminding the people about the day of judgment, and this means that one should prepare himself for this day by obeying Allah and not by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as people nowadays do when Eid comes, some of them even travel far away to do things which displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, this is not the way to be thankful to Allah, and this is not the way to celebrate the Eid. This is actually becoming arrogant and becoming disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out on the Eid day and he prayed two rak'ahs, the two rak'ahs of Eid. He did not pray anything before them and he did not pray anything after them. So this we mentioned before, that on Eid day there is no prayer before the Eid prayer, and there is nothing after the Eid prayer, except of course the Dhuhr prayer and so on. But there is no extra prayers, neither before Eid nor after Eid. Then he came to the woman, meaning after he advised all Muslims, then he came to the woman, he gave them a special advice, and he ordered them to give the charity. So this is the way that the one who gives the khutbah on Eid day, he should follow this sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the women were throwing their rings and their earrings as charity. Also, Atiyah radiallahu anha, one of the companions, one of the women at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered us to take out the women to Eid prayer. Those who are kept hidden at homes and those who are in their period time and all other women to be taken out to Eid prayer. But of course those who have blood on them due to their period time, they should not pray. They just attend the Eid and they listen to the khutbah and they benefit from the khutbah and from the dua of the Muslims that day. So Atiyah said, O Messenger of Allah, one of us might not have the proper clothing for that day. He said, let her sister lend her clothing. Now, of course, this shows that it is a must for a woman to go out with the proper clothing, and the proper clothing for a woman is that clothing which is modest, which covers her altogether. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mar'atu awrah," or the woman is altogether awrah, which means that she cannot be looked at by men, except of course by her husband and brother and so on. But anyway, the woman should go out in the proper clothing. Now, this is very important for all Muslim women to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made it a must on them to cover themselves when they go out of their homes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا, that they should not reveal their beauty except what is already apparent, which means the outside clothes. As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, explaining this verse, he said that the woman should not reveal any of her beauty when she goes out except what is already apparent, and that is the outside cloth. So in this hadith, we find that the woman at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were paying attention to wear the proper thing when they were going out. Also, we should notice here that when she goes out, she should not be wearing any perfume, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbidden that when the woman goes out from her home to put any perfume. So when she goes to Eid prayer, she should not put on any perfume. And she should be wearing the proper clothes and be dressed properly. This is regarding the etiquettes of going to the Eid prayer. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله. Last time when we were speaking about the Eid prayer, we mentioned about the woman going out to the Eid prayer, and we mentioned that it is a must for women when they go out of their home to dress properly and to cover themselves up, and also that they should not put on any perfume, because they are forbidden to put any perfume when they go out of their house. Of course, Islam has a lot of precautions in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made fornication a great sin. So anything which might be a cause of temptations and falling into something which displeases Allah is forbidden. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصاري. And he also said, قل للمؤمنات وقل للمؤمنات يغضضن من أبصارهن. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to order the male believers to lower their gaze, to lower their eyesight, not to look at women. And he ordered the women also to lower their sights and not to look at men. Now, because looking is the first step, and it is the opening of the gate of temptation. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a true hadith that the eyes commit fornication, and their fornication is by looking. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is calling looking at a woman or a woman looking at a man, calling this fornication. Why? Because it leads to fornication, because it is the first step towards fornication. That is why it is called by its name, because it leads to it. Without looking, one would not fall into such thing. So when one looks, then he's aroused, and then he's tempted to do what is forbidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why this thing is forbidden, to look at women with temptation. This is haram. This is against the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's against the book of Allah, because Allah have ordered us to lower our sights and not to look. And it is against the order of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he called it fornication, and he also said that the hands fornicate, and their fornicate is touching. So because touching will also rise the temptations and will make someone fall into haram things. So looking and touching and so on, those are the first steps of fornication, and they will lead to the fornication. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said at the end of this hadith, after saying that the foot also fornicates, and its fornication is by going to that place. And he said the heart thinks of that, and the mind also thinks of that. And then he said the private part will either approve all this or disapprove. So the meaning is that those things are the steps to the actual fornication, and that's why they are made haram. Now, it is known that in Islam, this is a great crime to commit fornication and adultery. And for some man who is married, or who has been married, even if he's divorced now, and he commits fornication, he should be stoned to death. This is an order by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is not something easy, to stone him to death. So all things which might lead to this are made forbidden by Islam. So the woman must cover up so that she does not tempt the men when she goes outside. And even the man himself should dress modestly. He is not ordered to cover his face. Of course, if he grows his beard, then his beard is covering almost all his face. But anyway, he should dress modestly. He should not dress something which is too tight and show his parts and so on. This is not right. And the Muslims anyway must not resemble the non-Muslims in their dress. They should dress properly, modestly, in a way that do not cause any temptations. So in this hadith we find that also that the women at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not pay that much attention to dresses and so on, because Atiyah is saying, O Messenger of Allah, one of us might not have a cloth to put on. So she does not have even one dress. And now you open the closet of any woman and you find 10 or 20 or more clothes which are there. And the woman made it a habit nowadays to make two or three dresses for each Eid, which is actually a waste of money. The Muslim woman should pay attention on more important things, actually, on how to educate her children, on how to educate herself, on how to benefit the Muslim society. She should become more serious rather than paying too much attention on extra clothes and extra makeup and extra things which are unnecessary for the Muslim woman. This does not mean that the woman should not beautify herself for her husband, because this is part of the Muslim life, that the Muslim woman should look beautiful for her husband. She should pay extra attention for that, but this also should be done modestly. She should not do that extravagantly like the women nowadays do. And the Muslim woman can of course dress nicely and so on when they are mixing with each other, but they should not pay extra attention to this. We know that the real civilization is not to have 10 dresses or 20 dresses. This is not the real civilization. The real civilization is to worship Allah properly and to behave properly and to have the morals of Islam and to compete with the other nations in things which are beneficial for us, and not to compete with them in things which have no value. If one lives in the West, for example, or in America for a while, he will notice that many people there don't pay too much attention for those extravagant clothes and so on. They dress modestly and they don't care to have 10 clothes or 20. But anyway, if they do so, then that's their religion, that's their way. We cannot resemble them. We should not resemble them, especially that we are in an age right now where the Muslims are almost behind in all respects of life. So we have to be serious and to make those extravagant things something which are secondary and try to get rid of them. Aisha radiallahu anha said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered my house when I had two young girls, small girls, 6 or 7 years old. They were singing on Eid day. they were singing, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was laying down on his bed, and his face was turned to the other side. So she said, Abu Bakr, which means her father, radiallahu anhu, came in, and when he saw this, he got angry at Aisha, and he said to her that how could this be in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How could you be singing, and you know that singing is the instrument of devil? So Abu Bakr said that how could this instrument of devil be in the house of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned his face to Abu Bakr and he said, leave them, because that day was Eid day, and on Eid day we are allowed to let our children to sing, but this is just singing and not using any kind of music or something like that, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a true hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari that there will come people after me who will make halal the musical instruments and so on. So the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they will make it halal means it is not halal, it is haram. Especially he said that they will make halal fornication and the intoxicating drinks and so on. So he mentioned the musical instruments. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying this, mentioning those things which are clearly haram, and he's mentioning the musical instruments with them, that shows that it is also something which is clearly haram. Also, Aisha says that some people were using some kind of weapons to make some sports, and I was looking at them when I was young. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not forbid me from looking at them when they were doing that, and they were actually playing something with their weapons. This is something which is desired by Islam, to prepare yourself for fighting by doing sports which are necessary for fighting. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed me to look. She was young. She was maybe 6 or 7 or 8 years old. So he said, do you like to continue seeing? I said, yes. He said, okay. And he was encouraging them to go ahead and continue their sport or their training, actually. So in those hadiths, we find that, first of all, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu entered the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he saw those young girls sing, he considered this singing to be something which should not be done at the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He also called their singing the tool of the devil. Now, in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran that shaitan uses his voice to seduce men. Now, this verse, the voice of the devil, which is mentioned in Quran, is explained by some companions to be the singing. So that is why Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said in this hadith that when he heard the singing, he said, this is the voice, or this is the tool of the devil. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard him say that, and he did not tell him that what he said is wrong, and he did not tell him this is not the tool of the devil. But he said, leave them because it is Eid today. And singing for young children is allowed on that day to feel happy. So this is the point. But singing with musical instruments is not allowed, neither on Eid day nor at any other day. The only thing which is allowed is the duf, which is a special kind of a musical instrument. It is not a musical instrument, actually. It is allowed on Eid, and it is allowed on the wedding day for the bride. So this is allowed for the wedding and for the Eid. The singing itself, if the words are not false, if the words are not obscene, if the words do not tempt someone's feeling or arouse his feelings, then the singing itself is okay. So this is the general rule regarding the singing, and the musical instruments, of course, are haram. One cannot use at any situation. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In the last three times, and today inshallah our topic will be about the Eid, Eid al-Adha. Now the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم have made it obligatory on us to go to the Eid prayer and to attend the Eid ceremony or to attend the Eid prayer. So everyone must attend the Eid prayer. Even the females are recommended to go there and to attend the Eid prayer. Even the women who are in their period are recommended to go to the Eid ceremony, but of course they cannot pray while they are in that situation, but they should attend and listen to the khutbah and benefit from that day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Umm Atiyah, one of the companion women, said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered us to go to Eid prayer on both Eids. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, all of the women, even the ones who are usually kept hidden at home, and even the women who are in their period time, let them attend the blessings and the dua of the Muslims. So Umm Atiyah said to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, one of us might not have the proper clothes for that day. He said, let her borrow from her sister or something like that. Now on Eid, of course, on Eid al-Adha, it is called Eid al-Adha because one sacrifices an animal on that day. It is sunnah to sacrifice a sheep on that day. A sheep or more, not necessarily one sheep. So one can sacrifice more than one sheep, two, three, four, whatever he wishes. So it is a sunnah, and it is not a must to do so. It is a sunnah to sacrifice the sheep which is not sick and which does not have any form of deformity in it, such as such as its ears should be complete, it should not be cut, and so on. It should not be limp, its leg is broken or something. It should be something which is healthy and not diseased and not limp and not deformed in any way. These are the best conditions. And for someone who wants to sacrifice, anyone who intends to sacrifice, he should not take any of his nails or any of his hair starting from the first day of the Hijjah. This is the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that for someone who intends to sacrifice the Udhiyah, he should not take any of his nails or his hair from the first day of the Hijjah. So this is regarding the sacrifice, and this sacrifice can be distributed partly to the poor people and partly to your friends, and partly you take by yourself. You take part by yourself and you distribute some part to the poor people and some part to your friends as gifts. So now this is regarding the Udhiyah, and as we said, it is not a must. And you can make the Udhiyah either on the 10th day of the Hijjah, which is the first day of Eid, or the 11th day, or the 12th day, or the 13th day of the Hijjah. Just like those who are in Hajj, when they are in Hajj, they can also make their sacrifice in Hajj, either the first day of Eid, or the second, or the third. So there's no problem, or the fourth. So this is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this is regarding the Udhiyah. Now the Eid prayer on the day of Adha, on Eid al-Adha, Eid al-Hajj, the Eid prayer, it is sunnah to make it earlier. Not earlier than sunrise, of course, but earlier than the Fitr Eid. It is sunnah to make the Eid on the day of Fitr late. Of course, not so late, but late enough to have enough time to distribute Zakat al-Fitr, because it is sunnah to distribute Zakat al-Fitr on the day of Eid after Fajr prayer, or before that one takes his food, whether rice or anything else which is known to be as food, and he takes it to those people who deserve them. Not just take it to his neighbor or his relative, because by this you will not be giving the zakat, you will be giving a gift. And the Muslim is ordered to give the zakat al-fitr. So when you give the zakat, you should take it to someone who deserves it. It is sunnah on the day of fitr, Eid al-Fitr after Ramadan, to make the Eid prayer late, to have enough time to distribute Zakat al-Fitr. And it is sunnah on Eid al-Adha, that is Eid al-Hajj, to make it earlier so that you have time after Salat to sacrifice the animal. You have enough time to sacrifice and to cook it and so on. So this is regarding the Udhiyah and the Eid in general. Now on Eid, of course, one puts the best clothes he has, especially white clothes, and he puts perfume and wash up and so on, and he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Eid day by saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. The men can say this loudly, and the women should say this in their heart secretly, so that no one can hear them but themselves. And it is sunnah to attend the khutbah on Eid. It is not a must to attend the khutbah, but it is a must to attend the prayer. So it is also good in the Eid to let the young children, boys and girls, if they are young, like 10 years or 7 years or 8 years, to sing for themselves and to play with the duff, with the duff, and not with the drum or any other musical instrument, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said in a true hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made the musical instruments haram, and therefore the Muslim cannot be playing those musical instruments in any way. So on Eid day it is allowed for the children to sing, as long as what they sing is something which is not against the religion, something which is not bad words or whatever. So they are allowed to feel happy that day, of course. This is part of our easiness, our religion's easiness. Now, many people on Eid misunderstand the whole idea of celebration. Now, to celebrate means to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to remember Him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praise Him so that you will be thanking Him, something to this extent. So the meaning is that the way to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to praise Him and to remember Him and not to disobey Him, because many people on Eid days go beyond what Islam allows, and they do things which are haram. They attend, for example, parties where men and women mix together, and this is haram. This is not according to Islam. They attend parties where there are so many haram things, such as musical instruments and so on, which is not allowed. So in Eid, we are allowed to relieve ourselves, to become happy, but only within the limits of Islam. We cannot cross the limits at any time, Eid or any other time. We have to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by remembering Him and by doing what pleases Him and by obeying Him. We cannot praise Allah and thank Allah by disobeying Him. This is not the way to praise Allah and thank Him. Actually, to disobey Allah is a way of denying His favor. And to deny His favor is a sign of destruction for us, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might punish us for what we do. This is the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have followed with the nations before us and with this nation. So we have to be careful not to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in general what regards the Udhiyah and the Eid prayer. In Eid prayer, on Eid day, one has to look for the poor people as much as he can, to comfort them and to give them the charity and to make them feel good on that day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam especially emphasized this by giving Zakatul Fitr. He said, so that you will make them feel sufficient that day, so that they don't go and ask and beg on that day. This is a very important for us Muslims to comfort the poor people, because they are part of us, because they are our brothers and our sisters, and they are worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like we are. So we must be careful, especially on those days, to make them feel the brotherhood and to make them feel the mercy and the compassion amongst the Muslims. Now, on Eid day, if one attends the khutbah on the Eid day, Eid al-Adha, for example, if it is on Friday, and he attends the khutbah in the morning, then he does not have to attend the khutbah of Jum'ah. But he makes the Dhuhr prayer regularly at home. He cannot miss the Dhuhr prayer. So on Eid day, if it is Jum'ah, if one attends the khutbah on the Eid day, then he is allowed not to attend the khutbah on Jum'ah that day. As you know, to attend the khutbah on Jum'ah is a must, is an obligation. But since he attended the Eid khutbah, then the khutbah of Jum'ah on that day, if it is Jum'ah, will not be a must, will not be an obligatory. But he has to make the Jum'ah prayer. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.